these couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies once again.
Again.
Here. This is our 150-something episode.
Way to keep on top of things, man.
Well, I mean, you know, I try. This week, we've got an interesting lineup for you. We've got several films to review that we did not see.
I saw one of them.
Wait, you saw one of them?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool, man. But
do you not listen to the conversations we have?
Should I record them and pay attention at all?
Send them to you again. I hear we have some voicemails, actually.
We do?
Wow, you are so not on top of things.
Yeah, I'm having trouble. Anyway, the part that I do remember about the show is, here's how you can get a hold of Fat Guys the Movies. You can go to fatguysthemovies.com. There you will find not only our show, but also some cool second reel episodes. I think there's an Oscar one floating
around somewhere. We just did the big fat Oscar special, which includes a writer from Killer Film, a guy from Criterion Cast, and a guy from Atomic Popcorn.
Oh, so I've heard of one of those, I think.
Okay.
But you can also get, like, I don't know, Kevin's like reviews and stuff are there as well.
Right.
So those are entertaining, I guess. You can go to iTunes.
Did you just wake up, man?
No. You can go to iTunes, and you can download us on iTunes. You can review us and subscribe to us and hear backlog of episodes, if you so choose.
Wow.
You can email
you
us.
You did just wake up, didn't you?
Whatever.
Holy crap.
You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. I think we did. We got an email this week, right?
We got an email. I can read the email. Do you want to hear the email?
Let me get to this next part first.
Get the important stuff out of the way that you don't check.
You can leave us a voicemail, area code 614-388-8735. I guess we got a voicemail this week.
I've been assured that by at least one person that there was a voicemail this week.
Oh, fair enough. You can get us on Twitter. You can get me at twitter.com/rejects and Kevin Carr at twitter.com/KevinCarr with two R's. All right, what was the email?
It was from Andy from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and it says, "Dear Fat Guys, mainly Kevin, it is regarding the picture on fatguysatthemovies.com, so if you don't have iTunes open or the web open, or if you're listening to this on the radio, please don't go to the website and look at this, because you'll be horrified." His question is, "What is your hand on in the picture on the front page of Fat Guys at the Movies? It's kind of freaking me out."
Okay.
And I told him that...
What is your hand on?
Well, and this is what I told him, which is the truth. And I said, "I am, of course, holding an autographed picture of Gavin McLeod. What else would I be grabbing down there?" So, that disturbed him. He told me, he said that actually freaks him out more. So, that's true. You were there when I took the picture.
Yeah, you weren't holding anything.
Oh.
Spoiler, sorry.
You busted the entire illusion.
At least not that I remember.
Shame on you.
It was a long time ago, though.
You want to go down to the kindergarten and tell people there's no Santa Claus?
I already did.
Oh, okay.
That's actually what I do on Tuesdays.
Just random kindergartens?
Yeah. All right, so anyway, the first movie that we're talking about this week is The Crazies.
The Crazies!
Which is a remake of the 1973 horror classic.
Called The Crazies!
About a virus that attacks a small town, and some people try to escape the quarantine.
Figured out?
Not Deidre and Nicholas. There was an empty gas can just sitting out front, and Bill, well, he was mowing the damn lawn.
Bill!
You know what?
What?
We're in trouble.
I heard something from the funeral home.
What did you hear?
Screaming.
Jim?
Now, neither of us have seen this at the time of recording the show. We're actually both going to have a chance to see it before it actually opens, which is nice. So it does not get a preemptive suck.
Right, and there will be reviews on the old filmschoolrejects.com and fatguysatthemovies.com.
That's
for
right.
The weekend. By the time you probably have already read the reviews. Why am I even saying that?
Yeah, you're just out of it. That's because you just woke up. There you go, yawning again. Anyways, now you haven't actually seen the original 1973 movie.
No, I'm going to actually cram them together. late.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch... I'm actually going to have to watch the new one and then the old one, just the way the schedule worked out. I have to watch the women's hockey game first.
Oh, well, you know, we have priorities.
Yeah. So, the Olympics are important, man.
Sure.
So, I've never seen the original, but I will, and I'm actually planning on writing a piece about it on Film School Rejects, about my experience watching them both together.
Well, here's what's interesting about the original. It was only the... It was the third movie that George Romero directed, and it was only the second horror movie. The second film he directed was a romantic comedy. Yeah, believe it or not.
I did not know that.
And this is his second horror movie. So it's interesting because it definitely has that Romero feel to it. I get the sense that he doesn't trust the government or authority or the media.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever gotten that from any of his movies.
Just a few.
Just a couple. So it's I made a point to watch this week the original The Crazies in anticipation for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not terribly impressed with the original movie.
Had you seen it prior to that?
No, I hadn't. And I mean, I'm a George Romero fan. I like his stuff. I've seen quite a few of his films. This one just wasn't. It was more about trying to comment on the social structure, which is kind of what he did with Night of the Living Dead and his whole Dead series. The only thing is that he incorporated a story, a genre story, better in those films. Mm-hmm. And this one just seems to be, you know, more or less a cautionary tale of how we can't trust government and media.
Well, what's interesting is the new one is also a message movie. But did I mention this before about how it's a... one of the production companies involved is Participant Films, mm-hmm. which, like, they did movies like The Cove and, like, social activism movies.
Okay.
And so The Crazies is a social activism movie about, like, chemical spills and stuff.
Wow.
Apparently.
Well, you know, so, I'm looking forward to it
I think it's
one of those few movies that I'm actually really looking forward to the remake, simply because the first one, I remember I tweeted out after I saw it, I said, mm-hmm. It could have been crazier. You know, call me crazy, but
yeah.
It could have been crazier. I mean, you think The Crazies, you're like, oh my gosh, it's just going to be mayhem.
Right.
And there's a lot of people yelling at each other. It's got more dudes yelling at each other mm-hmm. than Point Break did.
Oh, interesting.
That's saying a lot. So
that's a little foreshadowing, maybe.
Hmm?
That's foreshadowing to our third segment.
That's not on the list.
What?
It's not on the list.
In which we're going to talk about buddy cop movies.
Okay. Well, and we're also going to talk about another buddy cop movie in the next segment. But
it's just falling apart.
It is totally.
How did that not end up on the list? We'll fight about this later.
Because it's not a buddy cop movie.
Why not?
Oh, we'll talk about that later.
Anyway, so The Crazies, neither one of us.
Bodie is not a cop. Patrick Swayze does not play a cop. He plays a bank robber who surfs and skydives and has awesome hair.
Yeah. Anyway, so in the next segment, we're going to talk about a buddy cop comedy, I guess.
Yeah, now we have to kill 30 seconds.
I don't know what else to say.
Do we have a voicemail we can play or anything?
No, we didn't see The Crazies, and that's fine, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to do if you don't see a movie? You can't preemptive suck. Oh, God.
And
this is just falling apart now.
We need to just end
we
now.
Really,
let's go to
we
break.
Really
we're going
just,
to break early.
Yeah, we really just need to go to a break.
To spare the audience.
And we're back here on Fat Guys at the Movies, and we are composed, we are focused, we are ready to completely just throw away another segment, I'm sure.
Huh? What? I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah. Anyway, in that break, many things have happened. In
yes.
That short break, I took a nap. I got.
I must have taken a nap because I don't remember that at all.
I also got The NeverEnding Story on Blu-ray. It was really an eventful break. Mm-hmm. As well, I also checked the voicemail. Turns out we have a voicemail, and it is from Meryl Barr over at the Film Stage, who I suppose. Had something to say. I mean, he really just feels bad for us. So,
well,
do we
want
to play that? Yeah.
Hey guys, we're all from Film Stage here, and I honestly felt bad that no one wanted to leave you guys a voicemail. So I decided to pick up my phone while I was listening and just do you the favor, leave you a voicemail, leave, whatever you want to do with it. If you play it, though, I promise you I will start calling in every week until people start calling in again. The only thing I would say is I'm plugging Kevin in my new show, which the title is still undetermined at this point, then leaving this voicemail, that will premiere March 1st on FatGuysAtTheMovies.com. Later.
Now, he's talking about he's going to be a soon-to-be awesome co-host of me for a new podcast that I'm doing that talks about television. Because I don't sit around on my butt enough to watch movies, might as well watch television as well.
And well, yeah, I was, you know, I've been thinking about this for years. Actually,
wow.
I've been wondering what else you could do that involves sitting in one spot on your couch.
Well, I am.
And this
I am
seems
planning,
like the next most logical thing.
I am planning a David Blaine type stunt where I sit on the couch all weekend long and never get up, and I'm going to get a webcam. And have me there.
Ooh,
and well, I'll allow myself,
what happens
like,
when you have to go to the bathroom?
Well, no, I am going to allow myself like a certain amount, because that just could get gross. But I mean, like a minute every 3 hours or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe like a longer one for, you know, I don't need to get into the detail of that because no one wants to hear that. But I'm going to work on something like that where I stay on the couch for 48 hours just watching TV.
Yeah.
It's completely designed not as a stunt to promote my reviews, but really just an excuse to have my wife wait on me.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the plan.
Interesting.
Look for it to happen sometime this summer.
Yeah.
You seem totally nuts.
Wow. See, I was really ready to be focused on that last this segment here, and then you started talking about sitting on your couch for hours.
Yeah.
And it just gone.
Well, anyways, just going back to what Meryl said, he was talking about our new podcast is going to be The Idiot Boxers. We'll show up on Fat Guys at the Movies.
The Idiots or whatever.
The Idiot
whatever.
Boxers. We're going to be talking about television. So you
yeah,
can
well,
listen
I'm
to
excited because I like television. I
awesome.
Don't write a lot about television because we have other people who do that stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
But,
anyhow, do you want to go to the review?
The review of what?
The new movie that's out this week.
All right. Well, speaking of television
and idiots
we're gonna talk about the Cop Out, which is Kevin Smith's new movie. It stars Tracy Morgan and Bruce Willis as Jay and Silent Bob as cops in New York, mixing it up with a Mexican gang over a stolen baseball card.
I'll shoot you right in the face.
I'll shoot you in the face.
What?
Shut up.
Stop repeating.
Come on.
Shut up, man.
You see what he's doing, Jay?
Knock, knock.
No. No. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. No. No. No, no, no. No. Hell no. 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 I refuse. No. No.
Who's there?
You didn't get to see this, did you?
No, but if that's the real premise to this movie, I'm running out to see it at midnight.
Oh.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, man.
I will say this. I'm excited about the fact that Guillermo Diaz plays the bad guy. He is the guy who played Guillermo on Weeds, and I've always enjoyed him.
Okay. That's your big excitement for this movie.
That's what excites me about Cop Out. It has nothing to do with Kevin Smith and his inability to fly in one seat on a Southwest Airlines plane.
True
also
story.
It has nothing to do with Tracy Morgan or Bruce Willis. It's all Guillermo Diaz.
True story. I had to drive to Cleveland to go see this. And I drove
so
to Cleveland.
So you thought about flying?
Well, no. I literally reserved two seats because I didn't know if someone was coming with me. Because the way Cleveland does it is like you reserve the seats and that's it. So I reserved two seats, and I ended up no one ended up sitting next to me. So I had a place for my coat and my popcorn bucket.
Awesome.
So that was pretty cool. I would have given up my seat, but nobody needed it because I was just there. It was just me. But yeah. Anywho, the thing with this movie, if you actually look at the early reviews, it's just getting creamed in the early reviews. Even the positive reviews that are coming out are kind of like,
well it wasn't
I forgive
so
Karen
stupid.
I forgive Kevin Smith. You know what I mean? It's people who just really want to like the movie.
Yeah,
and
I was just actually reading Roger Ebert's review.
Yeah.
And he didn't like it.
Yeah. Well, here's my take on it.
Yeah, go ahead.
it has a possibility to work in three different ways. It could be, it could work as a Bruce Willis cop movie. It could work as a Kevin Smith movie. It can work as a Tracy Morgan vehicle.
Okay. The
first one is as a Bruce Willis cop movie, it doesn't work. And the reason it doesn't work is because Bruce Willis, he's played cops a lot, but he never plays in buddy cop movies. The closest you'll get is in like Die Hard 3 or 4 where he's with a sidekick, but he's not, it's not like Lethal Weapon. It's not like a buddy cop film. So he's used to just sort of playing the maverick cop.
Yeah.
And he kind of brings, it's sort of like John McClane got old and shows up in this movie. Because he doesn't do much. He just sort of stands there and he's the straight man, but Bruce Willis doesn't play the straight man well to Tracy Morgan. So I don't think it works that way. And it doesn't really work as like an action cop movie because Kevin Smith's not an action director. And he knows that, and this was a misstep for him. Part of the problem was he also edits in the movie himself, and you can tell. I mean, the action sequence, it's cut together like some indie director who does mostly, you know, people talking, trying to cut together an action sequence. It's just not timed right. It just doesn't have that cohesion. And so it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work as a Kevin Smith movie because it's not his writing, and I don't think he's the award-winning writer. He should have rewritten it. He should have done something with the script, but I think he was too respectful to the original writers. And
Well, it's his first time dealing with a script that someone else wrote.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I think he could, maybe four or five films down the road, he'd be better, but this one just, it doesn't work as a, it doesn't have his characters, it has a couple jokes in there that you kind of recognize as Kevin Smith, but that's sort of like watching Overnight Delivery, which he script doctored, where you're like, oh, there's a suddenly bleep, a line you could recognize as Kevin Smith, and then the rest of it just doesn't feel like a Kevin Smith movie at all. The only way it works is as a Tracy Morgan vehicle. I mean, it's all about his shenanigans. It's him being goofy. He's the centerpiece. He's the most recognizable person on the poster. They're marketing it towards the Tracy Morgan fan base. I mean, if you see the ads, it's all about him and not even a mention of Kevin Smith. And even Bruce Willis kind of takes a back seat. So in that respect, it works. If you love Tracy Morgan, you'll like this movie. I hate Tracy Morgan.
Fair enough. So you hate this movie?
I don't know if I'd hate this movie. It's not. I don't hate it. It's just a massive misfire. It really just doesn't work. And I mean, like I said,
that's a poster quote right there. Kevin Carr, fat guys, the movies.
It just doesn't work.
A massive misfire. I like that as a poster quote.
I think.
I mean, I feel bad. I feel bad for Kevin Smith that this is the movie that he put out. I mean, I haven't seen it, obviously, and I'm going to go see it over the weekend and, of course, probably write about it. But, you know, I read that one review from Karina Longworth over at The Village Voice, who was, like, one of the only positive reviews.
But even then, it's a positive review. It's kind of like, well,
it was kind of backhanded in a way, but it said that, you know, there's something to be said about the way it kind of calls back to the 1980s.
Yeah, but it doesn't do that
some,
very
like,
well.
Technical elements, like the score. What's his name's score?
Harold Faltermeyer.
Yeah, his score was kind of fun and stuff like that. Yeah. But I don't know. You make an interesting point about him writing.
Yeah.
And not writing, and this being the first movie that he's directed that someone else wrote. I wouldn't be surprised if there was some tentativeness around changing things because of the way he
he's
is
a
with his own scripts.
He doesn't like anything to get changed on his scripts. I mean, he rarely lets people improv.
So it's safe to assume that he would, out of respect for that writer, you know, not change a bunch of stuff.
But
he
could
have made the movie better.
I saw somebody, another writer, and I forget who it was, but another reviewer basically said, it's not like Lethal Weapon and all those buddy cop movies from the 80s. It's like all the other movies that came after him that tried to be like that.
Oh, like Blue Streak?
I think that's an accurate way of saying it. I mean, I feel bad for him, and it was just, you can tell, I just have the sense that he started making this movie, and he was halfway through, and he's just like, I really don't know what I'm doing. And, I have to say it sucks.
All right, official Fat Guys grade, it sucks. We're going to break. We'll be right back.
hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We were just talking about the whole cop-out situation and how much
well,
I didn't
like
the movie.
Well, the movie, actually.
Well, yeah, there's no situation.
It's well, I mean, when you say the cop-out situation, it's almost like we're going back to talking about Kevin Smith not fitting in an airplane seat.
Fatty flying thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, we actually talked about the movie.
Yes.
And it wasn't good, I guess.
So, no. No, it wasn't.
I'm still going to see it. I'm not...
I'm curious to see what you think about it. My guess is this is my prediction on how you're going to react to it. You're going to be like, oh, it was okay. It was better than people say. Because it's getting creamed in reviews. Already, Kevin Smith has come out. And this is where Kevin Smith is his own worst enemy. Mm-hmm. He makes, if he thinks that somebody's going to rip on his movies, he makes a point to do it first. Mm-hmm. And that can work to a degree. Like, if you're fat and you go to a party and you're afraid people are going to make fun of you because you're fat, if you walk mm-hmm. in to go, fatty's here, you really cobble any sort of fat jokes that come right. out. But you can't do that with your movies. You can't sit there and say the movie's going to come out and be like, hey, guys, this thing sucks. You shouldn't go see it. Well, mm-hmm. when the director says that, it tends
well,
to be a problem.
And I think this is the interesting kind of drawback to this celebrity, this concept of the very accessible celebrity thing, you know,
yeah.
And Kevin Smith being so active on like Twitter and stuff mm-hmm. is that it's interesting to see how they react when their movie gets creamed, you
yeah.
know, and it'll be interesting to see how that reaction continues as the weekend goes on and the box office results come in, you know, because if his movie makes a lot of money, then his shit's not going to stink anymore.
Yeah.
But, you know, but in reality, you know, he's responding to people's reviews, which is really interesting for a filmmaker.
It's a bad
something
idea
that I have
to do
criticized. I've long criticized independent filmmakers for doing, because like you go to Sundance and like you write and you're one of like the first three reviews for that film, and like I would get independent filmmakers whose movie I slammed because it was bad.
Mm-hmm.
And they, like, comment on it. And I'm like, that's, you know, just let it go. You know, let
yeah.
it be what it is. So it's just interesting to see Kevin Smith doing that. And I wonder if that's going to continue. You know, you have guys like Jason Reitman and people like that who are on Twitter and stuff. I mean, what happens if they make a movie and it doesn't do well, you know?
Yeah.
And people don't like it.
Well,
know,
and
it's
all does depend. It will depend on how well the movie does. Already right now, it's getting just destroyed by reviewers.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's got to be tough. I mean, as a filmmaker, you spend, what, a year with a project? I mean, not just shooting it, but you gotta.
Oh, yeah.
Prep,
I mean, these are big-time labors of love for these
yeah.
people. You know, even bad movies take a long time and take a lot of effort.
Yeah. And you do this. And like I said, this is where I was thinking that I can just in my mind picture Kevin Smith editing this thing going, oh, just it's not editing quite the way I want it to,
mm-hmm.
and he really should have. I think the movie would have been greatly helped if somebody else would have come in and edited it for him, because make mm-hmm. it to crisp and make it crisp and cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
And you know it's got to be tough to sit there and see people say that Kevin Smith, your movie sucked,
right.
and have him and the venom out there on the internet. I mean, it's one thing for a reviewer to sit there and say, well, I didn't like this, and give an analysis of it, and you can disagree all you want, but to then come out and just go, because this is what people on Twitter do, is like, that movie was sucked balls, and they're like, how do you respond to that? You shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But Kevin Smith's been responding to his reviewers ever since he started.
Right.
I mean, even in Mallrats, he was talking about how they were, I remember seeing him talk about how everyone was waiting to see what's going to happen with Mallrats, and then when the returns came in, it was abysmal.
Mm-hmm.
It was so depressing. And same thing with Jersey Girl. It was a disappointment. But now, like you said, there's that accessibility.
Well, what's interesting? Did you see that? I tweeted out a link. New York Magazine's Vulture blog
mm-hmm.
did a little piece on Kevin Smith's. He's always kind of had some kind of hubbub around his movies. You know, like, he's always fighting against someone, some kind
oh,
of,
yeah.
right around the release of his movies. You know, like, Dogma, obviously, was versus he was against the Catholic League, and yeah. there was Jay and Silent Bob and the GLAAD thing, and Jersey Girl was essentially him railing against his, the critics he knew were coming for his movie, you know,
because of the Bennifer thing, yeah.
And then this one with the Southwest Airlines thing, and he just you're right, he is that guy who kind of gets out in front of critics.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I agree with being so direct with critics or the audience, or I mean, you just got to let your film be your film. Yeah. You know, it's up to people like you and me to then decide whether or not it's worth people's money and worthwhile.
And they don't listen
art.
To us anyways.
And then ultimately it's going to be about marketing, you know, speaking to people and whether it's going to make money. So,
but it's even like just, how Michael Bay last summer, how Michael Bay, when Transformers 2 got just railed in the mm-hmm. in the press and just got, and he's just better off just not even acknowledging it and just being like, mm-hmm. whatever. But then when he came out, he made some comment where he's like, screw you critics. My movie made $400 million.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, wow, you just completely made yourself look like an insecure little child, because the movie should speak for itself, you know, whether the movie does well or not. I mean, you don't hear – I've seen clips of James Cameron talk about Avatar, and there's a lot of people – loved it. But there's also – there's a very vocal group of people who hated that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not yet heard James Cameron come out and go, well, you guys are stupid because it's the future of 3D. You never hear him say
right.
that.
Yeah, and I think nowadays, though, it's this whole concept of, like, the more accessible celebrity
yeah.
that really kind of fuels it. So I'm interested to see where that goes, and I think Cop Out's a really good example of what happens when you have a really accessible celebrity who's mm-hmm. communicating directly with audience, critics, everybody,
yeah.
and it doesn't go over well. You know, if it doesn't go over well with the public, I'm interested to see what Kevin Smith
so, well, you know,
like
you
if
gotta
it tanks,
be,
like, what's he gonna yeah. say? You know,
but you gotta be careful because the thing is, it's your movie and you have your specific intentions. And whenever anybody makes a movie, they think it's good because they're at least making what they think is a quality flick. And it may be like what I said with this is it's a misfire, or he just mm-hmm. isn't good enough to do it. And the worst thing you can do as a celebrity or as a director is then say, oh well, you guys just didn't get it.
Right,
which is so easy to say. And you know what? If I was watching the commentary of Jersey Girl, mm-hmm. and he was doing the commentary with Ben Affleck, and they were going on and on about how he and Kevin Smith was like, well, you know, it's this movie, and this is what it's about, and it wasn't about this, and it wasn't supposed to be this, and everyone was expecting it. And he's like, and then Ben Affleck, who's he's a good actor and he can direct things too, but sometimes he says the dumbest things. And he's like, you know, Kevin, if you could just sit people down and have explained to them what this movie, they really could have gotten. And I'm like, no, the whole point is you should get the movie by the movie. And by saying that, you're basically saying the audience is too stupid. No, the audience got it. It's just, it may not have been done effectively for that audience.
Right. So yeah, so it'll be interesting to see, you know, how the communication changes over the yeah. weekend.
Yeah.
And see if people go and see it. I'll go see it. So,
yeah.
You know. Anyway, speaking of people going to see the movie and how much it's going to make, it's time for us to talk about box office.
Woo-hoo.
I think we could do this pretty briefly.
Shutter Island won last week.
Yeah, last weekend, Shutter Island with $41 million. Valentine's Day, Avatar, and Percy Jackson all in the $16 and $15 million range. And then The Wolfman at right about $10 million. Finished out
notable. Notable was the huge drop that Valentine's Day had. Over 70% from the previous weekend, it almost was beaten by Avatar. Less than half a million.
Well, it got what it deserved.
Above Avatar. By the way, speaking of, this is off track. Did you see that thing on Latino Review about the girl who wrote the email about the Wolfman?
Oh yeah,
off?
That was very funny.
Oh my
about
god!
About how Universal ripped off the Wolfman from Twilight.
Exactly.
I mean, but you know what? That's just that's journalistic exploitation. Like,
that
I'm
was
sure.
Awesome.
I mean, you run something like that on your site, though. I mean, I love the guys at Latino Review; they're great. But it's like there are stupid people in the world.
Well,
so,
it was just so funny. I understand the whole thing of, you know, I wouldn't expect them to do that every week, but every now and then, as he put it, you get a golden ticket, and
oh, yeah, definitely.
It was one of the funniest things I've read.
It doesn't surprise me. Every day I walk out into the world and find someone that stupid.
Wow. Every you know,
so,
hey.
And then every week I have to record with you, and it just makes it worse. And So there's that. Right. Anyway.
Speaking of stupid people, how much do you think Tracy Morgan is going to pull in for this movie?
Well, it's interesting because you have both Cop Out and the Crazies releasing wide. I think the Crazies marketing... I think both of these films are very well marketed. That's the thing. Okay. So I think both of them, I think they will be both in the top three with Shutter Island. I think Cop Out will probably win, and I think it will probably be Kevin Smith's biggest opening.
Okay.
And we're talking, I don't know, maybe 30 million here. He has never opened a film
more than 10 million. Hell, most of his movies haven't even grossed 30 million.
Yeah, most of his movies don't gross. I think he could open to 25 to 30 million just based on who he's got in his movie. You know, I mean, look at the last time Bruce Willis was in it. Look at the last Die Hard, you know.
Okay, because I was going to say it was that Robert De Niro movie.
Surrogates made 15, but yeah. Die Hard made 33. So every time Bruce Willis gets into an action movie, plus it's really, I mean, there's not a lot of competition.
I think Shutter Island's going to win the second weekend.
Really?
Yeah. I think Shutter Island's going to be around 30-some million. You'll get Cop Out. Cop Out will be 15 to 20. That's my thought. I think it's got... But I think it's solely relying on the Kevin Smith fan base, which is good for, what, 5 million? And then it's going to have Tracy Morgan fan base. I really don't think... I think people are going to be... People question Bruce Willis because it doesn't... You don't see Bruce Willis doing Bruce Willis things right. in the trailers. You don't see him blowing up helicopters and stuff like that.
Mm.
So... Fair Although, enough. A couple interesting things I want to point out to Avatar this weekend, it will probably crack 700 million domestic, which is amazing. It will also, within the next week or two, it will have made more on its non-US gross.
Release.
Just its international release, it will top what Titanic made worldwide.
Wow.
Yeah, so I mean, it's like take out the U.S.
Made a few dollars.
Yeah, a little bit of money. Which go back and listen to our Fat Guys of the Movie Second Real Big Fat Oscar special, and you'll hear my analysis of why I don't think Avatar is going to win the Oscar.
Interesting. So. Okay, I think Precious is going to win. I think Hollywood's going to have a cause. Anyway, well, let's move on before we have to discuss.
Can
that.
I say something really offensive?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I'm warning everybody right now. Mm-hmm. This is offensive. It's going to offend people.
Cool.
Or people are going to roll their eyes and say, "Kevin, I can't believe you said that."
Oh, wow.
I was talking with Meryl Barr, who left us our wonderful voicemail about Precious.
Uh-huh.
And I said, and he was, I was talking about, was it Gabby Sivide is how you pronounce her name?
Yeah, Gabri.
I don't know how to pronounce her name. And he's like, "Oh, it's so and so." And I go, "I just think of her as the fat black girl from Precious." And he's like, "Oh, that's terrible." Mm-hmm. I go, "But you know what's really funny is."
That's probably how a lot of people think.
Well, when you say,
unfortunately,
oh, that movie and the fat black girl from that movie, and you don't think of Monique, wow.
Wow. All right, yeah, no, you really have. I really think we should move on.
Have I offended enough people yet?
In the magical studio in the sky, yes.
Yes!
All right, time to move on. We got one more quick thing to do before we get into our last segment here. The Fat Guy 5 of the week. I don't know how this has taken us so long to get to in the third segment, but it's our 5 favorite buddy cop movies.
Which does not include Point Break.
Which does not include Point Break, I guess.
I squeaked one in at the end that you're probably going to be like, wait, how did that even get on the list?
Yeah, well, did you take one of mine out?
Yes, I took Point Break and Die Hard out, because the Die Hard movies aren't buddy... They're not buddy cop movies.
No,
and this
Die
is
Hard, it was, it, but it's only the one Die Hard, the one with Sam Jackson.
Yeah, well, not the other two, you know, Die Hard 1 and 2.
They weren't buddy cop movies, but, I mean, you can... I mean, my personal favorite, Last Action Hero, is clearly just not on the list.
Well, but it's not a buddy cop with that crappy little kid. That kid's not a cop. A buddy cop movie means two partners. They're cop partners. No, buddies, buddy cops. It's not buddy movies. It's a buddy cop movie.
Gosh.
Same thing with Point Break. You know, Keanu Reeves a cop, and Patrick Swayze's not.
All right, so here are actual buddy cop movies that we like, 5 of them.
You should be just glad I gave you this first one.
The first one is Bad Boys. You could throw in Bad Boys 2 here as well. It doesn't matter. It's the same duo.
The same quality.
Of Martin Lawrence and Will Smith. I personally love Bad Boys, so eat it, car.
Whatever.
So that's number one. Number two, another movie that I absolutely could watch on repeat for years, a movie that celebrates Bad Boys 2, is Hot Fuzz, starring Simon Pegg and Nick Frost.
It does celebrate Bad Boys 2, I will.
God, freaking awesome. And Point Break. Bad Boys 2, Point Break, and Hot Fuzz in the list in the first two entries.
Whatever. Anyways, the next one is Lethal Weapon, which I think is the quintessential buddy cop movie. It is the...
Oh, yeah, it is Riggs and Murtaugh.
It is the Pretty Woman of buddy cop movies.
Nice.
Yeah, and then 48 Hours is another one that's... Well, you know what? I guess this probably wouldn't count because Eddie Murphy doesn't play a cop. I think I just violated my own protocol there, didn't I?
What?
I violated my own protocol. He doesn't play a cop. But he was a cop in Beverly Hills Cop, so...
Fair enough.
Yeah. All right, anyways. And then the last one, Red Heat. Two cops, one from Russia, one from the U.S. One from Russia who speaks with an Austrian accent. How cool is that? Jim Belushi.
This is as opposed to...
Point Break, which is not a buddy cop movie.
What's the Jackie Chan, Chris Tucker one?
No, I wouldn't. Maybe we can put that in. You mean Rush Hour instead?
Rush Hour, yeah.
Instead of 48 Hours, Rush Hour?
Maybe, I don't know.
That could
be Rush Hour was kind of... The first one was fun. The second one was not so fun. The third one really wasn't that fun. There were three, right?
Yes, there were three.
Anyway, my honorable mention is Seven, because in my mind it is... I mean, it's not a fun movie. Obviously,
well, yeah,
but it
is—it's
about a pair of cops.
That's true.
Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman.
And I mean, I love Seven, but again, it's one of those I would be reluctant to call it a buddy cop movie because the whole buddy cop movie means it sort of has a little bit of a lightheartedness to it, even if something really grim is happening. Mm-hmm. And there's no lightheartedness whatsoever to Seven.
That's true. Anyway, so that's our Fat Guy Five for the week. When we come back, we're just going to try and finish this without doing something...
offending anybody else. God. Sorry, Monique.
And we're wrapping up here on Fat Guys at the Movies.
Ta-da!
Send that to a beat. We have moved into the fateful final segment, in which we recap what we just said earlier.
Hammer it into your head.
Yeah, so we've talked about movies, The Crazies, Cop Out. We talked about your new show, the new Fat Guys of the Movies property known as The Idiot Boxers, which will be about television.
Yes.
So, you know, it's not about movies, but it's still pretty cool, I guess. I think we predicted some box office in there somewhere.
Yes.
We also gave you an awesome Fat Guy 5. Which is our five favorite buddy cop movies, in which, in the first two, I snuck in two extra buddy cop movies.
Well, it's not like you're sneaking, like...
Oh, no, I didn't. Don't worry.
No, it's not like you're sneaking sarin gas into the UN or anything like that. You just mentioned them during the list.
Hey, just let me have my accomplishments.
Okay.
Anyway, time to move on to the world-famous DVD Roundup. And we'll start with me. I've got three this week that I like. It's kind of a light week, though, for Blu-ray and stuff, especially because that's what I do, Blu-ray. Yeah.
Okay.
But we have The Damned United, which is the movie about soccer,
starring
also known as football.
Starring a vampire, isn't it?
Starring Michael Sheen. It's an excellent little film and a really well-shot film.
Is it better than Invictus?
Way better than Invictus. Okay. I love the way it's shot. I love the score, and the performances were very, very strong. Then Dead Snow, which is the zombie Nazis in the snow movie, which I think I remember not liking as much as everyone else at Sundance, but it's one of those things that you should probably see in your lifetime, which is Zombie Nazis in the Snow from Norway.
I hear it's on Instant Netflix already. You can stream.
Yeah, it's on Instant Netflix. If you go to Film School Rejects and go to the Coroner's Report, there's a button on the homepage there. Robert Fury reviewed it and enjoyed it. It's fun. I mean,
I'm curious about that. I might have
it's
to watch
Nazi
it.
Zombies in the Snow. I mean,
yeah. Well, you know how they call it a zomcom for something like Shaun of the Dead? Would this be called a... Na zombie movie, not zombie movie.
I guess
because you can put them all together. Is that it? You got one more, don't you?
I have one more, which is the History Channel released The Universe on Blu-ray.
The entire universe.
The entire universe is on Blu-ray. Apparently, Blu-rays.
How long is it? There's a lot of compression.
Blu-rays Yeah, Blu-ray's capacity for video has expanded infinitely. And but it's really, I mean, there's some really cool stuff in there. It's all part of my lead up to South by Southwest, where they're debuting Hubble 3D in IMAX. And I cannot wait for that. So I'm the universe is kind of
Yeah, you know, company. That's one I got an invite to go up to Cleveland for. I don't know if I'm worth
You should
driving.
Go.
Really?
See it. I've heard that it's awesome.
Okay.
Like they took actual IMAX cameras to space.
Yes.
So that to me is cool.
Okay.
So but the universe is kind of a cool documentary. It moves pretty well actually.
I never got a chance to see For All Mankind on the big screen.
I love that.
And I regret that ever since came out when I was in high school. I never saw it on the
big
screen.
Yeah, last year, actually, last year at Austin Film Festival, they did For All Mankind on the big screen, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
So.
Here's my list. There's, of course, Everybody's Fine, which is the last movie that Miramax is ever going to put out.
unless somebody buys them.
Yeah. And there's also Cirque du Freak, The Vampire's Assistant. I was I was saddened that this didn't do as well, because I really enjoyed it. You know, John C. Reilly made an awesome vampire. And, you know, it was sort of like a Percy Jackson for vampire lovers.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is, like I said, it's a shame it didn't do better. But also, I got to give some love for The Box. Nobody else loved this movie. I did. I thought it was a fantastic Lee Dunn movie and an homage to 70s filmmaking. Excuse me, I just totally coughed and everyone's here. I'm
that's
an old
okay.
man. But no,
You've done worse to people's ears.
That's true. Well, not everybody. Just a couple.
Anyone that listens to this show.
I was not acquitted. I was acquitted. Anyways, so The Box, it's a neat movie. It's basically a two-hour Twilight Zone episode, and everybody else hated it, but I really did enjoy it.
Fair enough.
So go see it. And then there's some TV stuff that's out on DVD. You got Night Court Season 3. That show doesn't hold up as well as you'd think it would, but it is an interesting show. I did love Night Court. Season 3 is on DVD. There's also Flash Forward Season 1 Part 1. New episodes start in March. Did you watch Flash Forward at all?
No.
It's this thing where everybody in the entire world blacks out for 2 minutes and and 17 seconds.
Oh yeah, no, I get the premise.
And then they see the future. So it's the first half of the season marketed in such a way that you can then watch the next half. So let's see how well that one does. And there's one more, Nurse Jackie Season 1, which is...
Hey, did you see on Twitter that the people at Showtime appreciate your drinking game?
Oh, they do?
For Nurse Jackie?
No, I didn't see
they
that.
They really enjoyed it. It was... I'll have to send you the link. It was like... They retweeted the Film School Rejects feed and were like, hey, thanks for the drinking game. We were honored.
That's awesome.
And I'm like, you should be.
Well, what's also funny is a guy I know who does radio who on CD101, Joe Jewett, who, you know, he interviewed Peter Facinelli this week. And I told him, I said, well, ask him if he ever grabs Taylor Lautner's breasts the way he does Nurse Jackie. And he said, no, he doesn't have breasts. He just is all pecs.
Wow.
So,
all right. Well,
go.
A little overshare there. What is? What else do we got?
The Stinker, Jersey Shore, Season 1. If I have to explain that to you, you are beyond help.
Nice. All right. Wrapping up the reviews this week. The Crazies, neither one of us saw, but we hear it's good. We can't give it a preemptive suck because they are screening it just too late for us. Cop Out, you saw it and said...
Sucked.
Next week, we have Brooklyn's Finest and Alice in Wonderland. In the meantime, head over to fatguysmovies.com. There's a lot of things happening over there that might interest you or not.